There's a hit piece done by David Gutman. You can look at yourself, read it yourself, seattletimes.com. We're going to cover this later, but I just have to tell you, I got back. It was an honor and a privilege. Many of you don't know this. Caleb and I do Church and State together. I cover the church component of Church and State. Church is my background. 20 years as a pastor in the city of Spokane. My gifting is in the area of music. I've been a worship leader, worship pastor. And I love the ability for Pastor Matt and I to combine into this really powerful force that God is doing here at On Fire Ministries. Our church is a dynamic church. It's not like any church I've ever been into, because we are pursuing, just like the name Church and State, the show that Caleb and I do. This church does not back down from political subjects. And somehow we got thrust. I'm just never at a loss how God brings us smack dab into some of the most cutting, most current issues. And the issue is this: Ukraine. Everyone knows we're right now on the very, maybe possibly cusp of World War III. And it feels as if prophetic language is coming to earth right off the pages of your Bible. And On Fire Ministry somehow gets tossed into rescuing 62 orphans from Ukraine. Now, I, as the worship pastor, along with another gentleman, we were sent over tasked with just literally, in layman's terms, flying over with two other individuals. It was a team of five. As you know, Pastor Matt's wife, Victoria, speaks Ukrainian. Beautiful woman of God. She had one of her friends, Anna, come with her, who's also fluent. She speaks a fair amount of Polish, and she's very, very good at speaking Ukrainian and Russian. Now, Pastor Matt sent me along with another individual at our church as a security detail. I'm very versed in the Second Amendment and using those said articles to protect. We were not armed in Russia, but we were ready to just be on our toes. That's what we were sent to do. So we escorted Pastor Matt, Victoria, Anna we flew all the way to Warsaw, and then we went into an actual war zone. We went into Ukraine, and we were a part of rescuing with the help of Pastor Pavel of the name of the ministry. You can find him is Ichpak Prod. It is literally means in Polish. It means tip of the spear, or excuse me. I'm spacing out right now. We'll get back to that. But his church ministry, they allowed us to be able to get in with two massive Greyhound sized buses. New Covenant. Thank you, Travis. New Covenant in Warsaw, Poland. Pastor Pavel and his team had set up for us two massive buses, and we were able to drive hours into Ukraine, into a city called Lviv, where we met 62 kids at a train station. Now we'll get back to that, but what's ironic to me is here our church is just doing its life, just doing life as normal. Pastor Matt is in the process of adopting four kids of his own, and they've been FaceTiming and interacting with these kids for over a year, like I said. So we built a relationship with these kids, beautiful kids. I got to meet them when I was overseas. Just absolutely touching when they saw each other for the first time. So Pastor Matt is on the phone with his kids, and the kids are beginning to get scared because they're hearing machine gun fire and bombs going off in the town that they're living in. So he had to walk them through the process of, we're going to get you out of here. How does a small church of about 350, 400 people get involved smack dab into one of the most current event moments going on? I do not know. We don't plan this kind of stuff. But less than maybe 8 days ago, I was in Ukraine. And it was scary. Having to sit through checkpoint after checkpoint was indeed, it was nerve-wracking. But what's the most disturbing is here we are on a heroic mission, and of course, our detractors have to make it something that it is not. It's disgusting. We'll get back to that at the bottom of this first segment. We'll hit that. We also have today an awesome guest with us. We're going to be covering a website called The Forward Observer. This is a awesome organization that is put together by Mike Shelby. We're going to be interviewing Mike Shelby, and he has got another half an hour will be dedicated to talking about his notes on conflict and collapse, his observations. You can actually pay for an early warning risk intelligence assessment of about $9 a month, if not $100 for the year. So we're going to be talking about that later as well. What I wanted to talk to you about is a friend of mine, Mike, brought this to my observation. And I'm not typically one for omens, but the Bible's very clear that we would not know necessarily the day or the hour, but the Lord said we would see the leaves as upon a tree, that we would know the season. And a very interesting mathematical anomaly was brought to my attention. World War I date. You can look this up, World War I date. If you do not believe me, we used to say Google. Sometimes we say DuckDuckGo, but now DuckDuckGo has been compromised. So I don't know what search engine you use. Caleb used to love DuckDuckGo. If you go World War I, start date of World War I, you will find on the 22nd day of July 1914. So that is 28 plus 7 plus 19 plus 14 equals, for you math whizzes out there, drum roll please, the number is 68. Okay. You fooled me once. Okay, World War II. Started on the first day of September, 1939. So that is a 1 plus 9 plus 19 plus 39. You get the number 68. Hey, Travis, by chance, did Matt cover this mathematical? He has not covered this. Okay. Well, hopefully I'm not stealing his thunder, because when I was in Ukraine, him and I were absolutely scratching our Christian heads saying, oh my gosh, this is unreal. Russian invasion of Ukraine, 24th day of February, 2022. So you have the 24th day plus 2, second month of the year, plus 20, 22. That equals, you guessed it, 68. We may be looking back and seeing that, in fact, we did see the beginning of World War III start with Vladimir Putin laying down the first mortar round in these cities. He claims he's defending his homeland. We're not here to talk about that right now. What I want to do is read Psalm 68. Because as Pastor Matt and I were reading Psalm 68, we were in the cafeteria of this beautiful former communist journalist house. This is where these children are being housed right now as we speak. There are 62 kids laughing and playing. There's a big cafeteria in there. We were reading Psalm 68 because as we found this information, we said, you know what? I wonder if you ever had that moment, Saint, where you're just like, I wonder if I read King David's words in the Psalms on a particular number you come across. This is what it says. And here we are, reading this along widows and orphans. Listen to this. In the midst of war happening, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Hallelujah. Verse 2, it says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And very interesting how fire has been so prevalent in the story of how these armored columns are being taken out. Many of you seen the video footage of women and kids even taking styrofoam pieces that are ground down, put into bottles along with gasoline, and then by the thousands making Molotov cocktails. Fire has literally stopped these armored columns because these Molotov cocktails, because of that styrofoam, it is like a gooey substance once it's ignited, and it stays on fire for quite a long time. And it is It is amazing the amount of firepower that just mere civilians have been able to invoke upon the Russian Federation, coming down in columns, and they stop them. We're going to talk about it here in a second. These things called, many of you don't know what they're called, but they have these odd kind of like checkpoints to stop tanks, and they're called hedgehogs. We'll get to that here in a second. We'll continue reading verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Verse 5, a father, here we go, a father of the fatherless and a judge of widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. Other translations talk about widows and orphans. That's truly what James says is true religion. True religion is this, according to James, the brother of Jesus, the biological brother of Jesus, who didn't even acknowledge Jesus to be Lord and Savior until after his resurrection. James said this. True religion is this, to take care of widows and orphans in their distress. This is true religion. What we were doing was true religion. But of course, the spokesman has to take a different perspective on it. Psalm 68, continuing on in verse 20. Like we said, this the 68th being the number, kind of showing us what's going on. I want to encourage you to read this whole entire Psalm, Psalm 68, those of you who are avid listeners of Patriot Radio, you're going to see hashtags. I know Pastor Matt has been hashtagging with the hashtag Psalm 68. So please read this psalm. In verse 20, it says, he that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God, verse 21, but God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on in his trespasses. Now, what's interesting, Travis, is I know Travis loves words that are they have deep meaning. This hairy scalp, you do not see this word very often in the Bible because it says, but God shall wound the head of his enemies, not just that, and the hairy scalp of one of such as one goeth on still in his trespass. This word, hairy scalp, if you translate it, Thayer's lexicon and Genesis, they also point to its old meaning of like a hedgehog. And I don't know if they had porcupines in Israel, but they had hedgehogs. And hedgehogs, their fur is a protective combatant against their enemy. So as we were driving through Ukraine, in an active war zone, we actually got video of this obstacle. Is the only way I could describe it. They have on the main roads these metal steel objects. Those of you who are online with me right now, you can see my fingers, you know, similar to what you see on the beaches of Normandy to keep their, I believe they're called either NPCs or other personnel vehicles from being able to storm the beaches. The Russians have these steel objects that look like fingers or, you know, objects pointing out, laid all over the ground to where no tank can go through efficiently. Then they have behind these emplacements made of sandbags. And as we were going in country, we saw a small amount of sandbags, but on the way back, we saw huge amounts of sandbags and with places for turrets, high caliber guns set up. And what we found out is these things, the locals, they call them hedgehogs. I was blown away how in scripture this very translation is coming forth right here in Psalm 68. Look at this, verse 22. Speaking of the enemies of Bashan, it says, verse 22, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, which for those of you who are scholars, it's Mount Hermon, the bulls of Bashan, the peak, the highest peak in Israel is called Bashan, or other words known as Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the place. In fact, Caleb, him and I love to talk about Mount Hermon because this is the place where Lucifer, Shemyaza, Azazel, and the highest of the fallen angels made a pact saying, we will go against the Holy One. We make a pact right here, and we're all going down together. We're basically losing it all together. That was their place of agreement, was on top of Mount Hermon. It says in verse 22, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring again my people from the depths of the sea. Verse 23, that the foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. See, the scripture is talking about the enemies, their deaths will be so numerable that even the dogs would be licking their blood in the city. It's pretty graphic, I know. He says that your feet, he's talking about the blood of your enemies, will be, your feet will be covered in their blood. I know the death count has been highly, like just absolutely brought down to low. These testimonies that are coming in, I know many of you have heard from the mouths of these young Russian soldiers, a full tank battalion, only two survived. An officer and this young man, and he was saying, we don't even know why we're fighting. We don't even understand why we've been sent. We don't want to be here. This is the words of some of these combatants. See, what has happened is Russia has lost the moral ground by bombing cities, by bombing orphanages. The very orphanage where I went to rescue kids is laid waste in the town of Mariupol. Laid waste. There's probably nothing left. God always comes to the defense of widows and orphans. Many of you, you've been politicized. Fox News, CNN, for the Lord, right now, I don't even understand it. The left has rallied behind this war. President Zelensky, he's on place to be Time's Man of the Year. Do I know what's going on? Do I understand fully what's going on? Is Ukraine a hotbed of sickness because of Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and all of the political scandal? Yes, it is. But the innocent, what are we to do about them? When we went in, we didn't know what we'd be getting into. I'll just be honest with you. Those of you who know me, I'm ready for anything. I don't back down. We brought in armor plates because we didn't know if we were going to have to be driving in to a hot zone. We expected to have to drive in 700 miles to Mariupol. And Pastor Matt and Victoria were ready, along with Anna and myself and Mike. We were ready to drive in. But God opened up a way for these 62 kids to get on with only two children's workers, the daughter of the director, and another woman, 62 kids. They got them into the train station. And I'm telling you, I don't know if Travis has any footage of the train station. It is absolutely packed. It is so packed. If you want to play that, do you have audio for that, Travis? Okay, so we have video right here of Pastor Matt. And what we have right now is video of me. This is me taking video down inside the train station in Lviv. This is 700 miles later. It is nothing but wall-to-wall people. Those of you who are seeing online right now, it is wall-to-wall. It makes New York look absolutely open, wide open. We can barely move. What's ironic right now is Pastor Matt has got to go. I'm sorry to say this. He's got to go pee really bad, Travis. We are trying desperately to find a bathroom. Here's footage right now of him finding his kids. This is beautiful. This is his wife, Victoria, his lovely wife, Victoria, and his two sons that are he's in the process of adopting. One is about 11. One's about 7 or 8. Two teenage daughters. Just gorgeous reunion. Those of you who are seeing this online, is absolutely powerful moment. I was there videoing this. Just surreal. Very surreal moment. Tons of tears. I'm tearing up at this point. How can this be twisted into some type of trafficking the insinuations, we're going to go now to the article. Because we just, those of you who want to watch for yourself, church and state did an interview. Yeah, we also have some footage here. This is video. You can see on the side. Yeah, Travis, you can put that up. That's good. You can see wall-to-wall traffic at the the border crossing. He's talking about this is hour six at the border. We're next in line. It looks like at least one of our buses. So we're keeping up and praying and thanking the Lord for some connections that I think are going to help us through. But the biggest connection is with Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're moving to the Polish border. I know there's a lot of people praying for us right now. I think we're going to go on something like 40 something hours with like an hour and a half of real sleep. We hardly got any sleep. So anyway, thank you guys for all your prayers. It's just supernatural strength right now for the Lord. It's been awesome. This is totally kingdom. We love it. Connections, your connections have helped. We've got two gigantic buses that came out of nowhere. It's awesome too. And right now, we're about one checkpoint away from freedom. Awesome. Thank you, Travis, for that footage. Oh, you got to show that just for a second. Can you show that, Travis? Okay, pause that. That is me sleeping in the front cab. We would take these little cat naps. My neck was just killing me. We would take these cat naps. And that's how we survived as we were traveling. We got Victoria asleep. Here's Pastor Matt again. Hey, everybody, just wanted to give you, we just cleared the Polish border. And everybody is in freedom. Just super exciting. Thank you guys for all the prayers. Powerful. Powerful. It's one of the most exciting adventures I've ever been on. Pastor Matt loves to talk about how I've been on American Ninja Warrior. He loves to bring that up every time, Travis. That was pretty amazing. Not even close to as amazing as this is. I tear up because a lot of these kids too, just so beautiful. Very touching. They're hilarious. They're like little urchins. They are so sweet and just so resilient is the word that I can think of to describe them. They are tough. And I have to say the Ukrainian people are tough because as they were stacked, Travis, inside those train stations with no room, moving inches at a time to their freedom because they are waiting. Right now, train stations are still full. They got to get out of country because day after day after day, Ukrainian people are stubborn. They do not want to leave, but some of them are forced to leave. There's quite a bit of people who are still there. And this is a modern nation. I think a lot of you think when you think the word refugee, you think of uncivilized people. These are people who have the same type of living conditions as you, just a little bit, some of them a little bit more taxed, but they remain so calm in line. In fact, when I was getting that video of the train station, I heard in Russian that they did not want us to video. Why? Because it's an insult to them. So that footage was very brief. They remained so respectful towards each other. I was talking to some of my friends and loved ones. I've seen the way Americans act during Black Friday. These people are in war, Christians. And they are staying calm. One of the saddest things I saw was a couple and their children had a small flat screen TV. It was kind of sad that this was the one thing they chose to bring with them, this little flat screen TV. Most of the people had pets. We saw backpacks. That's all they have left to their name as they escape out of the country. Poland is getting flooded. Moldova is getting flooded. Definitely be praying. In these last few minutes, what I want to do is just, before we have on Mike Shelby here in a minute, this article, if you want to go and read it, I want to encourage you, go to theseattletimes.com, read this article by David Gutman. I challenge you, at the end of it, he has a phone number. Call it up, 206-464-2926. He posts it himself. David Gutman, leave him a text. Tell him. Leave him a text. Say, you disgust me. I am saddened that you would do this to a pastor. Flood his phone number right now with texts. You also have Pastor Matt's video that you can see, a link to it, showing what we're actually doing. There's no such thing of human trafficking or anything questionable going on. You can also reach him, dgutman@seattletimes.com. Also on Twitter, @DavidLGutman. Once again, @DavidLGutman. You know what? Irresponsible reporting needs to be held accountable. It is disgusting. This is absolutely sinister. What was done to Pastor Matt as he was in the legislature, I can kind of get. Because that realm is so filthy. The legislative branch and everything that happens in politics is very filthy. But this man is a man, he's a pastor. Laying his life down for the sheep. True religion. Widows and orphans. And you have to know that God is coming to his defense. But saints, if you want to, give David Gutman a piece of your mind. Leave him a nice little text saying, you know what, I'm praying for you. You need help. Leave him a text. Flood it. I know I can count on some of you to do that. And I don't think it's the unchristian thing to do. Those of you who know I'm a pastor, I'm not saying to be mean. I'm not saying to be, do not say anything that it was going to cross line. Just tell him. You're going to be held accountable by God for the way that you use the pen. It is slanderous. You need help. So we're at the 4:30 mark here. And I want to invite on a special guest. His name is Mike Shelby. Mike, are you there? We're working on getting Mike on. Anytime you can let me know when you're on, Mike. I'm going to introduce. He's got a website.
I'm here.
All right. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? It's an honor to have you on. Thank you for being on Patriot Radio.
Yeah, well, Matt, yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I'm actually Pastor Matt. He is in Poland. We were just on the air talking about he right now is in Poland. I just got back myself. I was on about a 9-day trip. Mm. Yeah, we just got out of Poland. We went all the way into Ukraine. Pastor Matt has helped orchestrate and rescue 62 orphans out of Ukraine. Four of them being kids. Wow. He's personally adopting him and his wife himself.
Wow.
I knew as somebody you've got a background in overseas missions, this was quite the mission. I am a civilian, sir, Mike. I am not military, but this was, I've never been in an active of combat zone. And like I was telling the listeners earlier, we saw many machine guns. We saw the effects of war all around us. So the very subject that you're going to be talking about is so crucial right now because we're seeing the effects of war all around us. So yeah, tell us a little bit about Forward Observer. We've got a half an hour to talk about what I would describe as your ministry, warning people. People can subscribe to your observations, and it's an early warning risk intelligence outfit. And it looks like it's high touch, meaning it's hand-picked information that you provide. So tell us about that.
It is. Yes, sir. Yeah, I started doing this back in 2016 full-time because that was a tumultuous year. A lot of people had uncertainty about what was going on, especially with what we call low-intensity conflict. And, you know, it's a time, I mean, frankly, just it hasn't slowed down. People want to understand what's happening. They're not getting that from mainstream media.
No.
They are getting a lot of one-sided information from whichever alternate news source they choose. And so we at Forward Observer, we're former intelligence and special operations veterans, and we've done this overseas. We've done intelligence analysis and intelligence gathering overseas. And now we're just doing it domestically, although we do keep a focus on geopolitical developments, what's happening with Ukraine and Russia and China. And really what we want to do is give people the ground truth of what's going on and then talk about how we can prepare for that. And we're not alarmists. We're, you know, I'm not telling anyone the world is ending, but we all know things are going to become more difficult here in the United States.
I love it. Tell me about your background in the military, because I'm getting the impression that you're not somebody from a Fortune 500 company or somebody from the banking industry, which I'm sure you may be versed in those things. But it sounds to me like your input has a military background. Am I correct?
It is. Yes, you're correct. I was a military intelligence NCO. I was a sergeant, and I did that. I became a contractor in uniform, and as a contractor, I spent over 3 years in Iraq and Afghanistan deployed doing the work of intelligence. And I'm bringing everything that I learned, and Max and Dustin and Dan and the other guys who are on the Ford Observer team, Adrian, we're taking that experience and applying it to a real world mission here in the United States. And instead of serving the needs of the government or civilian policymakers, we're now serving the needs of our customers with intelligence. And really we try to reduce uncertainty about the future and talk about what could happen in a realistic real world scenario. You know, we're not a crazy YouTube channel that is predicting the world's ending every other day.
Right. And I almost feel like the listeners who subscribe to you are probably listening better. And I'm not sure on this, but I get the vibe that the government doesn't like to necessarily hear what our forward observers are saying. Now, I'm speaking of, if you're familiar with an individual named John Guandolo, he established an organization called Understanding the Threat. My friend Caleb Collier works for them. Are you familiar with this organization?
Yes, I have seen their website.
It is to me ironic that a lot of these guys who worked, John worked for the FBI. He actually was one of the whistleblowers on Islamic terrorism on our own soil happening. And of course, the Obama administration didn't really want to hear about it. And I suspect that sometimes in your observations, it just because there's intelligence doesn't mean the higher ups necessarily wanted to hear it. Am I right?
Absolutely. The Obama administration, and I think every administration suffers from this, but Obama especially, I think, was it Victor Davis Hanson who said that he allowed his ideology to inform his reality?
Yeah.
And that is the complete opposite way of what we should do. We should understand the ground truth, understand what's happening, and then make decisions based on the evidence. But, you know, I tell you, that administration in particular had so many people from so many obscure places that it was very complex. It was, I feel like their loyalties were split, and a very, very complex environment for, you know, for a lot of the people in that administration who were not doing what was in the best interest of the United States, unfortunately.
Yeah. So true. So what we're living in right now is surreal, Mike. What are your observations? Without giving too much, now I know I'm very tempted myself to get a subscription. This is something that I do. I'm a pastor, Mike, so my realm is more of the church realm. But I'm one of the most tinfoily pastors you will ever meet, and I wear that tinfoil hat unabashedly. I'm proud of it. So I tell people it's the truth. But knowing it, I think some people quote the scripture wrong. It's sometimes people say the truth sets you free. It's knowing the truth. That's what Forward Observer is doing. They're helping your people know the truth. What are some things you can tell us right now, being in that Forward Observer position? What are you seeing right now with Taiwan? What are you seeing with China? We just saw, you know, I don't have to tell you this. You probably know that it's looking like the OPEC, maybe not just in dollars anymore. Trading oil in yuan, possibly. So this is interesting times. What are some of the key things you are seeing right now?
Yeah, well, in terms of the Saudis, I think Mohammed bin Salman is making his displeasure known to the Biden administration. The Trump administration effectively chose the Saudis to lead Middle East peace. The Biden administration is working with the Iranians instead. And so, look, China buys about 25% of Saudi oil. And so even if the Saudis do decide to accept yuan for oil, I don't think that's the demise of the dollar. I think that's the Chinese buying oil in yuan from Saudi Arabia. Look, in terms of the dollar, long-term, yeah, I think the dollar is doomed over the next 20 years. But over the next several years, look, the dollar is still, it's something like 80 to 85-plus percent, maybe 88% of all foreign exchange trades are settled in U.S. dollars, and that's king dollar. The United States has massive capital markets. No other market in the world compares. We have the largest and safest credit market. And so until that changes, I think the dollar is pretty safe. Now, staying on China, one thing, the biggest thing that China is doing right now is they are, as much as possible, regionalizing their supply chain. They're finding countries in the region that can meet all of their supply needs. And then they're taking that regional supply chain and they're localizing it as much as possible. And if you're China looking at Russia right now, you have to, that's very defensive in terms of national security. China is not self-sufficient, but they have to choose partners like Russia, which has oil and wheat and lots of food to export, because China has to import all those things. And so what I'm looking at right now is China's getting defensive about, about not following in the same mistakes that Russia has.
So true. We see this conversation between Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. I believe this was previous to the Olympics or just some midstream through the Olympics. That I get everybody alarmed. Now we see conversation of the Saudis and China trading. And like you said, that this displeasure, it seemed to me that President Trump was having conversations with the Saudis. They seemed like the best of friends. And this has all deteriorated quite fast. Now, you say that the dollar looks safe. You also, though, I'm looking at, you're talking about this last piece you did on your website. Is hyperinflation an outlandish scenario? You say the answer, it's not an outlandish scenario. You even outlined six scenarios with really good abbreviated analysis. So I wanted to ask you, out of those six, like things have already changed. You put this piece out the 19th. Out of these six, you've got the financial nuclear option for sale of foreign-owned property. You've got economic destruction from war with China, American Suez crisis, domestic conflict, the Fed's 10-by-10 scenario. Of these six, what are you leaning on right now of these that we should be watching?
I am most concerned about 2024, the elections, and what happens into 2025. We are in a, your listeners and you probably very familiar with the fourth turning.
Oh, great book.
Peter Turchin has done work on this. And John Goldstone has done a lot of work on revolution and rebellion. And I'm very concerned about that. An ignited domestic conflict is a definite threat to the dollar. But, international investors flock to the dollar just like they did back during the COVID pandemic. They flocked to U.S. markets because that was the safest place to put their money in terms of financial assets. They didn't have to worry about it being expropriated. They didn't have to worry about waking up in the middle of the night and their currency devalued by 50% or 10%.
As we're seeing with the ruble right now, I want to say it's getting hammered.
Yes. It is. Yeah, I think the United States, the Biden administration is waging economic warfare on the Russians, trying to force them into default. The Russians had that $117 million bond payment that was due yesterday and that I saw. I don't believe they made that because all the money that they have is they don't have access to it because those funds have been frozen. So at any rate, yeah, I'm very concerned about what happens after the 2024 elections. That could be disastrous for the dollar. After that, I'm most concerned about the Fed's 10-by-10 plan. Well, I shouldn't say that this is their specific plan. However, it is very beneficial for the U.S. government to run high inflation because that, you know, all these people in Congress and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Fed Chair Powell, they always talk about, oh, we have to get the U.S. debt back to sustainable levels. Well, how do they do that? Well, they've got to pay some off. Mm-hmm. They've got to pay some of that back down. You can't tax it out of the United States. You have to run inflation. I think
you have to inflate it out.
They run inflation. Yeah, and pay it back with devalued dollars. So that's kind of my next thing. You know, typically we think about hyperinflation as an error of monetary policy. And sometimes that is true, but of the, you know, dozen or so times that this has happened in the past 50, 75 years,
right?
It's actually been due to the effects of war. So right after that, I'm very obviously concerned about a shooting war with China, because that's going to be catastrophic for the entire world. Our supply chains are going to grind to a halt. We're China's number one customer.
Right.
That's going to grind to a halt. And it's just going to be whoever wins is going to be, it's going to be a very Pyrrhic catastrophic victory, regardless of what happens. But that's one way you get hyperinflation for the U.S. dollar, is you get the U.S. losing a war against China.
Let's come back to China. I want to finish with that. We got about 15 minutes left. We have on with us Mike. What is your last name? I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
Shelby.
Mike Shelby, Forward Observer. You can go to forwardobserver.com, check out his website. But one thing that is true, inflation is simply no different than when a fever breaks out in somebody who has an infection. It's just signals of an illness in the economy. Something has to change. A lot of you are seeing right now at the pump, high gas prices. And I was thinking to myself as I was filling up, oh gosh, this is just ridiculous. But the reality is we're not even really seeing the actual cost gouge yet, because we still have on hand vast reserves. So these oil companies are pushing numbers because they know they're going to get hurt as they are seeing their oil, you know, reserves start to dwindle. So this is simply just a reaction. Part of me is like popping the popcorn and watching all this hit, because I'm thinking, you know, all of these people who got checks that were incentivized by the government during COVID, living off of free government money, we were all thinking eventually the poo is going to hit the fan. Sorry, Mike, there's just no other way to say it. And I've just been waiting for it to happen, because you can't have the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same results. Eventually, inflation has to happen, and it will correct the economy one way or the other. So I agree with you. Inflation is just like a fever. Would you not agree?
Inflation is a symptom.
I want to go back to China. What, without sticking your neck out too far, everybody says there's no way China would ever set foot on sovereign U.S. soil. But we've seen talks of training on Trudeau's land, where we've seen Chinese soldiers, we've seen footage of them training on Trudeau's provinces. We've also seen, without fail, every time the Taiwanese government tries to say they're going to fight back, we see them preparing for something. Is there a possibility? Is it an outlandish possibility to think of a shooting war with China on our soil and it making its way into our backyard?
Graham Allison wrote a really great book on this called The Thucydides Trap. And he and Mike Morrell, who was at one time an acting deputy director, or maybe acting director at CIA, you know, they both said, look, you study history, and there's about a 70% chance that a revisionist power goes to war against a status quo power. So China being revisionist, status quo being the United States. It's not outlandish. I think there's a good chance that it will happen. In terms of the war being brought over here, I'm not immediately concerned. Here are my concerns. So first of all, special operations, like sabotage, things like that, that would be my number one concern in terms of actual boots on the ground,
right,
in the United States. But, you know, cyber attacks, a lot of information operations. There's a lot of ways that I think there's a lot of ways that we would be affected here in the United States by, you know, directly from Chinese attack. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be D-Day. I don't expect Chinese soldiers, you know, running their Higgins boats up on the shores of Long Beach, you know, or wherever,
right,
to invade the West Coast. I doubt that will happen.
But it sounds like you think that there may be some shots over the bow as far as computer hacks or networks going down, possibly infrastructures tampered with, messed with. We also have the probability of, you know, oil, energy. Those things can be affected. A lot of people don't understand how unhardened this nation's energy is.
Yeah. Listen, if I were the Chinese, just as an intel guy, if I were the Chinese, one of the first things I would do to the United States is disrupt or potentially take down their information and communications environment. Because at the point where we don't have GPS, we don't have satellite weapons, we don't have satellite communications. China has demonstrated they have anti-satellite weapons capability. You know, that really has been such an important point of our warfighting capability is communication. Getting strategic direction down and translating that into tactical actions at the lowest level. And so, yeah, if you're China, you absolutely have to disrupt that. And unfortunately for us, that means internet, cell, any kind of communications, maybe even power, any kind of communications and how we get environment, I think, is going to be attacked. That's the absolute first thing I would do if I were China.
Okay. Well, before we get on, in our last 10 minutes, before we get on to how do we harden ourselves, in your kind of final thoughts, let me hit real quickly. There's been a lot of talk in Russia. Obviously, we have oil that is exported to us. Now we're going to be purchasing oil from some other dictator who hates us, instead of purchasing it from Vladimir Putin, who hates us. So we have that hit that's going to come to the American taxpayer as oil prices start to soar. We also hear rumors of one of the greatest producers of wheat, which is Russia and also Poland. But the problem is fertilizer. Russia, a lot of people don't know this, the amount of fertilizer, the vast wealth of fertilizer that comes out of the Russian Federation is now probably not, definitely not going to be coming our direction, and also towards the UK, which they use a lot of that. There's a possibility of a global famine. What are your thoughts on that? Is that a valid observation?
Yeah, I do think so. There was a congressman in some hearing that I was reading the transcript of. It had nothing to do with food, but he referenced a Defense Intelligence Agency report. And apparently, according to him, one of their findings was that if there's a 5 to 10% drop in food, then yes, you're going to have a global food crisis. Russia is the number one exporter of wheat. I believe Ukraine is number five. They're already saying that about 30% of cropland in Ukraine is not either not going to be planted or it's not going to be harvested. They're expecting about 50% yields out of Ukraine this year for wheat. And obviously, the longer this conflict drags on or the worse it gets, probably the lower those yields are going to go. For us in the United States and other food producers and exporters, yes, fertilizer is going to be a massive issue. What I expect a lot of farmers to do is switch to crops that don't have as large a fertilizer requirement. So America still produces enough food to feed us all. I'm not concerned about mass starvation in the United States, but places in the Middle East and North Africa, especially, they've already been hit hard. They're going to continue to be. Parts of the Western Hemisphere in Central and South America are going to have very large problems. Like high population densities and zero arable land is a massive problem for these countries. So maybe we see, you know, people fleeing famine. Of course, when you have famine and hunger, you get things like the Arab Spring and you get revolutions and rebellions and a lot more crime. So maybe we see another massive wave of immigrants to the United States, because I think we will have food. It may be in shorter supply and it's going to be more expensive. But the global famine could very well happen. I think we're going to be somewhat insulated here, or we're going to be more insulated here in the United States just because we grow so much food here. And they say like roughly 30% of the food in the United States is wasted. It's thrown out anyway. So it's going to be more of a problem for other people, but we're going to feel indirect effects.
Okay. Is there any nations or nation states that you're, you know, this is just kind of a side bonus for all our listeners. Who is a nation or anything going on in these four nations that are kind of off the radar? There's nobody's even talking about that has you itching, has you interested. Anything you can throw our direction on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I frankly don't know. I'm not so much concerned about nation states. What I'm really concerned about is how I'm part of a large group, probably a lot of you as well, who think that the Democrats are going to lose the House and Senate this November.
Yep.
January next year officially. However, I'm somewhat concerned about what happens to the information environment, how some of the left-wing groups and far-left groups react to that, knowing that, the fascist Republicans are back in control. And, you know, I wonder if they just don't spend the next 2 years after that building up steam and momentum going into 2024. That's my biggest concern, far and above any nation state.
Yes, our own form of awakening the giant, stirring the bee's nest. We're really going to have to really, really, really put the oars down deep into the water coming to 2024 if they do lose the House and the Senate, which it's looking like that is a real probability. But yes, the swing with that, the awakening of their own giant, which we were hoping would happen, didn't happen for us in the Trump election. I believe it was stolen, probably as do you. But yeah, that is a very good point, Mike. I appreciate that. That was a very good answer. Something for us as the church to really watch out for too, because we got to get in this game. In the last 5 minutes, what can we do to harden ourselves? Obviously, go to forwardobserver.com. Check this website out. Toy around with the idea. You know, a lot of us waste money. I spend about $6. I make my own mochas, Mike, at home. But every once in a while, I find myself caught with a craving for caffeine. I'll buy one. But $9 a month, am I correct? Are you there, Mike? Am I reading this wrong?
It's $10 a month, $9.99 a month. We are completely supported by subscribers. We don't take any money from anybody. I don't care about how many eyeballs land on our website, and I mean that, like, we're not publishing clickbait articles to make advertiser dollars. We don't make any money through advertising, and so if we get it wrong, subscribers leave. If we get it right, subscribers stay. Mm-hmm. And so that is really our, that's one of our incentives here, is that we have no special interest other than providing, what we believe is going to be the most accurate intelligence to drive decisions into the future. We certainly would appreciate your support.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the website is forwardobserver.com. And if I can just recommend,
Travis, can you pull that up?
Just kind of one last thing here is build a preparedness network.
So good.
I think prepper group is kind of, I don't know, I dislike the term prepper, and unfortunately it's gotten a lot of negative
connotations. Yeah, it's got hijacked.
But a preparedness group, we have a meeting, I live in Central Texas, we have a meeting here once a month, and we give free training. People bring their family members, they bring friends, they bring coworkers, and we share information, and most of the time it's like, oh, hey, there's a sale down at, Bob's Hardware Store, and they're selling, whatever. Here's a discount code for water, water purification filters.
Right.
But tornado season, hurricane season's coming up. Going to have a lot of problems. And just having that community and knowing that, hey, if I need it, I can have 5 to 10 guys on my doorstep in 15 minutes to help me. That's how you get through the future.
Okay. We got about 30 seconds left. ForwardObserver.com. How can we find you? Are you on any social media, Mike?
Yeah, I am on social media, unfortunately, but yeah, if you're on Twitter or Instagram, I'm just at Grayzone Warlord with an A. Grayzone with an A.
G-R-A, Grayzone with an A. Okay.
Yeah, G-R-A-Y.
Awesome. Well, it's been a great interview. I'm going to be praying for what I believe is a ministry, early warning ministry. And thank you so much for being with us. Those of you who have been with us, it has been an honor for me to be with you. I am Pastor Gabe, and you have been listening to Patriot Radio. We've had Mike Shelby of ForwardObserver.com, and he has an early warning program anywhere from $9.99 a month to $99 a year. Check that out. And to those of you who are Christians, may this be the generation that is called the greatest generation. God bless you. Keep up the fight. This has been Pastor Gabe Blomgren with Patriot Radio.